walking miracle in that there was concern whether he would live, and then there was concern whether he would be able to talk and walk and all that. And you can see he can talk pretty good and walk pretty well. But there's a little bit of a challenge that they have found this week with him. And so this coming week, he is headed to Memphis for, there are a couple tumors that they have found in his brain. And they're going to do some biopsies on those and then look at what further treatment will be. And so throughout this week, we want to look at the miracle and worship and say, thank you, Jesus. And now ask that the Lord's hand would continue to touch him. That continuing touch is a big deal. And so we just want to pray for the Lord to remove those tumors. We're grateful for doctors, what they can do. May the Lord put his hand inside their hand and do beyond their ability. And as we pray for him, so good. And Clay's up, moving around a little bit, doing. Yeah, and so we want to pray for his wife because he's at the house all the time. Could we just ask that the Lord would grace her? For those of you that don't know, he was on a motorcycle, got hit. It knocked the motorcycle 100 feet, was that what it was? 120 feet. It knocked him about 10 feet. He was saying, because he prays over bikes, that they would be blessed on, and had just left a trip. And so Clay's mind was, I forgot to pray for me. And I go, I think you got like rebound prayer or something, because it really worked. You're here. But they have not even started on the shoulder yet. That's yet to come. And so we just want to continue to pray there also. Okay? So we're going to end today. I'm going to preach us toward a prayer, a particular prayer I've really felt for a couple of weeks. It's important. I'll tell you what it is and where we're going to end. There's two things. Is the Lord bring the right people to your life that will cause fruitfulness? Anybody like that? Don't pray for Molly to have another child. That's not what I'm talking about at all. We're glad we're over that. But she's like, no, thank you, Jesus. there are connections that happen that cause kingdom fruitfulness. And it's good that we are hearing the Lord in connecting and working with people that can cause fruitfulness. Does that make sense? So that's one of the major things I want to pray about. And then the other thing is, I've really felt this over the last couple of weeks. I have time where I come in here and pray during the week in this very place, because I can think about where you sit. I know you're never going to change where you sit. And so, no, I can think about where people generally sit, and it helps me. I can pray through that. If I get that book that's got all our pictures in it, I don't even know who you are, because that was made in 1969, and you don't look like that anymore. But from here, I can think about where you sit and pray. It's just a part of the rhythm of my week. Pray for our church family. And there is something that has been coming back to me probably for a month, a couple of weeks strong, is just that you be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit lead you to where you need to be and connect with the people you need to connect with. And so I want to emphasize that in an hour and a half or so when I'm done preaching. No, I want to emphasize that in a little bit. I want to preach toward that point. We pray, Lord, may there be healing and all that. We want that. But specifically this morning, I want to pray for, may the Lord lead and may the Lord bring fruitful connections. And so I want to start with a story about it. Then we're going to go to Romans 8. In Romans 8, we're going to see where the Bible talks about the internal witness of the Spirit the interior witness where the Holy Spirit is giving testimony to your spirit, where the Holy Spirit is testifying or giving witness internally that something is true. We need that. There are seven things the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit gives witness to. I just want to mention those and get to the one that there will be a witness in the Spirit, a connection. Have you ever met someone that you just knew they were a Christian? Has that ever happened to you? I'm in mourning. I sold a motorcycle a couple months ago. I've been without one for a minute. Yesterday, I had motorcycle desire as we were driving around, and I looked on Facebook Marketplace. I go, I got to get another motorcycle. My wife is resisting. Would you guys just play that she will hear the Lord in V-O? Okay with that. Anyway, we tried to sell the bike for a while. It was kind of fun, just goofing between us. And so some guy's going to buy it. And when he came up, he started talking. It was an amazing story that he had gotten into addiction, had lost his job, had lost everything that he had, was down to living in a single room. And now he was building his life back. Oh, Harley Rider, blessed be the name of Jesus. And no, for real. And he goes, this is my first bike that I'm going to be able to buy since my recovery. And that was fun. But here's the thing he said. Hello, hi, how are you guys? I want this. And he goes, and then he just looked at me really weird. And he goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I go, yeah, I'm a Christian. He goes, me too. He goes, I could just tell by talking to you guys. And then it went on. And have you witnessed that before? It's just the internal witness of the Spirit with somebody else. Okay, let me ask you this other one. And I saw this happen last week in our church. Have you had the Holy Spirit witness in your heart? You witness in somebody else's heart. And you build a relationship with them that is spiritual, that is beyond the natural realm. And you would even go, I have natural brothers and sisters, but my brothers and sisters in Christ are even deeper than my natural brothers and sisters. Yeah. And you would, it would even feel like, and I know for some of us here it's this way, that my church family is the strongest relationships that I have because it's deeper than just normal relationship. I heard somebody last week going through a very difficult time, one of the worst times they've been in their life, and some other people that had been through what they've been through was together praying with them after the service, and the person that was being prayed for said, I don't know how I would live without my prayer warriors. And what they here's what she was saying, is there's a witness that's deeper than information inside my spirit that is connecting me with somebody else that is deeper than a natural relationship. Now it's really good when you have best friends and spouses that they have that kind of a connection. But what the Bible calls it, it's in 2 Corinthians 5, 15, I think, 16, 17, somewhere there. What the Bible calls it, it goes, know no man after the Spirit, not even Christ. And when you read that, you go, that's a weird scripture. After the natural. Know no man after the natural, not even Christ. And I go, what in the world are you talking about? But here's what Paul's saying. I don't know Jesus simply as Jesus of Nazareth that lived in 30 AD. I know there's a Jesus of Nazareth in the Bible that you can read about. And what Paul's saying is, I don't know Jesus like that. I know Jesus with an internal, eternal connection in the interior of my being that is deeper than knowing someone by the natural. And then he encourages us, know one another after the Spirit, not simply after the natural. And I go, Lord, I've experienced that. There are people, I want to make sure that you get the understanding and the feeling. Is when Mark died, Pastor Mark died, and Molly and the kids are faced with, where are we going to live? And her thought, now she's single, responsibility of children, her thought was, let me move back near my family. But when they talked as a family, they go, no, this is our family. And the idea is a reality in the heart that there is a connection that God makes where I'm not knowing you after the natural, I'm knowing you, here's the way Paul says it, by the Spirit. When he's saying by the Spirit, he is not saying my spirit knows your spirit. What he's saying is, I know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows you. I know you by the Spirit. Does that make some manner of sense? And so there will be relationships that you have that are like the guy buying my motorcycle. I really loved that he was a Christian, and I felt betrayed when he is sitting on my 08 fat boy driving away. I can hear the pipes for 3 months. I was crying before he got out of sight, right? But that relationship's over. I'll never see that guy again in my life. But there's a connection that for a minute, you have some joy in your heart and you go, hey, that's a brother and sister I'll spend eternity with, right? And that's just passing. Then there's another kind that I have connected with you, and we will be connected as long as we live on earth because the Spirit has tied the knot in our relationship. Does that, you know what I'm talking about? And then there are some that are relation that are seasons. There are seasons where you are connected with someone, and then that season ends and you're not connected anymore. And there are pastors who don't understand that. I'm just telling you for real. Just inside, I've been in the green room with pastors. And sometimes somebody will be in a church for a season, then they're gone, and then the pastor, he thinks we're in gangs. You just changed to another gang, and now we're enemies with one another. It's not like that. It is not like that. It is that there are times that there are seasons in relationship. Now, let me tell you, let me encourage us. If God has connected a heart to a heart or a body or a family, because we don't make ourselves into families, God sets us in the family, honor that. Does that make sense? And there are other times that something is seasonal, and we go, we bless you for the season that we were in. Is that okay? That's the point I'm going to preach to. I'll run through a bunch of other points to get there. That's the point I want to preach to, is may the Lord bring to you long-term relationships that will make you stable. Do you know why people don't have friendships in old age? And here's the statistics on it. Very few people have friendships in old age. And all my buddies died, what Dan said. No, here's the deal. The ones that do have long-term friendships are the happiest people on the planet. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what tribe you're from. It's around the earth. The happiest people, when they're old, are people that have long-term relationships throughout their life. Do you know why people don't have those relationships? It's because they never built them when they were young. If you want to build happiness in your graying years, you build some friendships while your hair's still black. What will happen is you will have those relationships. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit will do. I'm about to preach myself happy. I'm going to shout to myself. Woo! Here's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will take people who don't have friends, deep friendships, or long friendships, and he'll go, I have some long friendships, some good friendships, some deep friendships. I'm just going to give you mine. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. And what he will do, you'll meet people like this, and in 3 minutes, it's like your lifelong friends, right? And the Holy Spirit will go, you need this relationship to get you through what you're going to live through in life, right? And then there's something called a local church that the symbol is a family. He will set you in a family, and your heart will connect with that family, and it will become a stability and a strength and a life source and a method of fruitfulness for the rest of your life. Isn't that good news? And you go, yeah, I didn't deserve that. Anybody just go, well, I didn't deserve that, God. What did I do? Is that right, Dennis? And you go, I don't deserve that. What did I do to deserve it? And the Lord will say, it's not about what you did or didn't do or what you do or don't deserve. It's about what Christ did on the cross. And because of the benefit of being a part of the family of God, God will connect people will have eternal fruitfulness. That's amazing. I had a friend, let me tell you the story and then I'll give you the points, okay? Here's the story. I felt like the Lord told me is about, I don't know, two, three weeks before Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday was last Sunday. If you're a Julian calendar or Orthodox, Pentecost Sunday is this Sunday. So I'm preaching on time. I'm just preaching on the Orthodox calendar. No, I just felt like the Lord said, I'm going to give you a gift on Pentecost Sunday. It's a weird feeling to have. A couple weeks later, somebody called me. A friend of mine said, would you have this African pastor come preach for you? Could you do that? And I go, yeah, sure, have him come next Sunday. When I look on the Sunday and I'm starting looking the calendar, remember when they weren't on your phone when you had to look on them? And when you look on them underneath the calendar, it says Pentecost Sunday. And I go, yeah, have him come, penciled his name in. And I go, hey, maybe that's the gift God's going to give me, whatever. Guy comes and preaches. He comes to preach, and here's what he told me. I was in Uganda. The Lord told me to go to Charleston, West Virginia. And that's where I was pastoring, was Charleston, West Virginia. And he goes, somebody called somebody, and somebody said, would you like to go to America? And he said, I would. And over there, you have to pay money just to get a visa. And if you don't get the visa, you just lost the money. Usually, it's five or six times applying for a visa before you got a visa. Guy applies for a visa, he gets the visa. He goes, thank you, Jesus. I'm on my way to Charleston, West Virginia. I know where America is. I never heard of Virginia. What's that? And what's a West Virginia? And where in the heck is a Charleston in a West Virginia? He doesn't know anything about that. He just knows that now he has an invitation. He comes to America, and he lands in Marietta, Ohio. Now, he doesn't know, but Marietta, Ohio is a border to West Virginia. But he didn't know. He's just Africa, right? He's there about a week, and he's preaching, and somebody, and he's just saying, God, you told me I was going to West Virginia, and here I am in Ohio. Where's Ohio? Where's West Virginia? And and so somebody sends me, and they go pick this guy up, and I go pick him up, and we're driving back, and he goes, where are we going? He doesn't know. And I go, we're going to Charleston, West Virginia. And he shouts and almost cries. And I go, what in the world's up? And he goes, the Lord told me almost a year ago to go to Charleston, West Virginia. I've been on a journey. I came to America. I've been here 2 weeks. I don't know anything about anything. And here you tell me I'm going to Charleston, West Virginia. And it's Pentecost Sunday. And he and I had friendship that lasted about 10 years. We built a school. We built a church. We saw hundreds of people saved. Together, we built about five businesses. Those businesses had influence that was very helpful. A guy in a village in Africa, it's going to fall again. A guy in a village in Africa and a guy in a little mountain town in West Virginia that the Lord goes, I'll put them together where I want to, when I want to, the way I want to, and nothing will stop it. Come on, somebody. There will be a synergy that will bring fruit, that will bring glory to God throughout eternity by bringing this one to that one at that time. For his purposes. Isn't that amazing? There was a thing I think it was 3 degrees, 5 degrees from Kevin Bacon or something like that. And they could take every, for a little bit they were doing this thing, every movie that had ever been made was 5 degrees from Kevin Bacon. Here's what I want you to know. You are one relationship from God. And God is that relationship from everyone in the world. He will lead people to people that will have the benefit of the glory of what he desires to happen in the earth. Is that okay? That leading is going to be by the internal, interior direction of the Holy Spirit. I feel like there's anointing in the room. I want to lead to praying, but I'm going to give you the points. So if you take notes, in 5 minutes, we're going to be praying, okay? The interior witness of the Spirit leads in 7 directions. I want you to be aware of it. We're going to go to the last one. Number one, the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a Christian. He will bear witness to Christ. Number two, the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the Scripture. It is said the Bible is the only book that the author shows up when you start reading it. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scripture, and now the Holy Spirit will give you insight into the Scripture by interior witness. So he, A, gives witness to Christ. B, he gives witness to the Scripture. Number three, the Holy Spirit will give witness to you to what is good or what is right. It's John 16, and it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I had a friend who was a multimillionaire who helped young guys after he had made money in 2 different businesses. He helped young guys start businesses. He would help them even with venture capital. He would give them the greatest thing he would give them is wisdom. And he would tell them. And I've heard him say it to 4 or 5 different guys, young guys struggling in business. He'd help them out a little bit. He'd bring them over to his office. He'd give them wisdom. And here's what he would say. I've heard him say it to 3 or 4 different guys. He would say, when you are on the verge of making it, God will give you an integrity test. If you pass that test, God will put his hand under you and he will elevate you. That's what he told him. He helped his son get into business. His son was in a real estate business. Son called his dad. And he said, Dad, if I shade just a little bit, I can have a contract. The contract I get will have millions of dollars behind it. How would you like your 30-year-old son to say, I'm about to sign a contract. The contract will have millions of dollars behind it. I'm going, yes, son, sign the contract. Remember to give Dad tax. What he said was, son, tell me about the shady part. And the son told him. And then he goes, Dad, you know I can't sign the contract. And he goes, son, I know. I wanted to know if you know. This is your integrity test. And he passed the integrity test. And the good news is, down the road, another thing came along that catapulted his son into success. Let me tell you something. This may be one of the most important things you've ever heard. The Holy Spirit will tell you in your heart what is the right thing to do in difficult circumstances. If you violate that, you are headed on a road to deception and destruction. If you will listen to that, there is a road of blessing and fruitfulness on the other side of the decision. So he will give you witness on what's right. Then number next, four, he will give you witness on what is wrong. Don't violate it. Your conscience is sensitive. You violate your conscience, it will sear. I've heard people as a pastor many times, God told me not to do this. They did it. And then I will hear later, they are a professional. They are well known in the thing God told them not to do. And they are successful, or they are good, or they're very elite in that area. And I go, destruction is down the road. God told you not to, and you did anyway. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever heard of conviction? I'm just seeing who doesn't raise their hand, okay? Have you heard of conviction? Has anybody ever seen the Lord change his mind when he told you something was wrong and you argued with him and you argued God into this is all right? Anybody ever seen that one? Who's winning that argument? Yeah. And have you ever noticed he will get, please pay attention, he will get very sensitive, he's pushing hard, and then he's not pushing anymore. The not pushing anymore means that you have violated your conscience and your conscience has now become seared in that area and you can't hear God's no anymore. It's dangerous. So when we hear the Spirit go yes, let's do the yes. When we hear the Spirit go no, let's do the no. Okay? God leads by no as much as he leads by yes. Okay. Is that four? Good. Then number five, the Holy Spirit will give you witness about people. Number six, he will give you witness about your purpose. I'm not going to go deep on that, but I'll come back on it another time. And number seven, he will give you witness on timing. I'm going to illustrate it, and then we want to pray. Anybody want that one? God, give me those fruitful relationships. We need that. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. We need the Holy Spirit to connect us, and we need him to lead us to people that will bring fruitfulness, and we will bring fruitfulness to their lives. But the number seven, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will show you things to come. Meaning, the Lord will give you timing. He won't always give you understanding. He'll just tell you the timing. You ever had the Lord say, just stop or just start? And you go, that makes sense. One of the major changes in Molly's life we talk about often is she went to work one day and the Lord said, quit. I go, I've been waiting for that my whole life. But no, it was very difficult. There were money changes, but she made an adjustment. That adjustment was the best for her children for the rest of their life. The Lord took care of her. And then when it was time to find another job, found another job in 5 minutes and you're off and running again. I had a friend I met in a parking lot last week. We were just saying hi, and he went through this whole thing about at a job's a good job. Lord told me, get another job, went to another job. He goes, within a month, that company was letting people go, and I was off and running because I heard the Lord's timing, a witness in my spirit, do this at this time. I'm laying that out so you know it's there. It can be a seed. I'm not going to go deep on that stuff. I'm going to come back on that thing. Lord, there are people in the room that need leading from the Holy Spirit right now in this time and in this season to do the right thing at the right time. Does anybody, do you have a witness on that? Could you just raise your hand if that's a for real for you? Because we're going to do a general prayer. Yeah, I just need to know, Lord. And with that leading, may the Lord bring the relationship that can be fruitful in this day and the days ahead, because I just want to give us confidence in our heart, faith from heaven, that God knows everyone everywhere. And I could sit here and just give you story after story. I woke up in Korea at the 10th largest church in the world as the head of a department in that church. And I just woke up and go, how in the world did I get from where I was to where I am. No money in my pocket. State senators were our elders. A Supreme Court justice. If you've ever, some Hyundai cars, if you ever heard of that, the CEO is there. That's the kind of life I was in for a minute. Went there with $100 in my pocket. When I went to leave, I had $100 in my pocket. I had lived through that whole very elite circumstance situation just because the Lord goes, here is an internal witness with an internal witness to a person that is fruitful, that can open things up. Does that make sense? Okay, so I just want to pray it. If you want to, let's just stand together and we'll let our worship team come and lead us in just a minute. Let's pray together. Let's pray so they don't have to get ready, so they can be part of the prayer too. Could we do that? If there's somebody that had a raised hand that you're around that you want to pray with, it'd be okay. It's okay to get in a little circle or to grab a hand or hand over a shoulder. I just have really felt the weight of the Lord on this. I want to bless you and just pray. Lord, you have infinite wisdom. You have infinite wisdom. We pray in the name of Jesus that that infinite wisdom from eternity would be direction in this room right now. We ask that the Holy Spirit would lead the right way, the right time, those directives that will get Christ the most glory. Lord, I pray for people that need people. They just need somebody to fill a position. I pray you would send the right person. Lord, I pray there are some we don't even know about, but there is a direction that someone else is following you and we're following you, that we would just run into each other under your direction to cause fruitfulness to come for your glory, for your kingdom, and fulfillment in the lives of those in this room. Would you please release the blessing of divine alignment, divine direction. Lord, there's some of us that just need to know the timing thing. We need to hear from the Lord the thing that we are to do, because you already know what's ahead of us. Would you give, as we worship in just a few moments here, would you give direction even in the midst of the worshiping? And Lord, right now we lift up grace unto you. We pray healing on that body. We pray healing to that brain. We pray those tumors would be contained and removed in the mighty name of Jesus. Others in this room that need healing, would you bring healing? Lord, in the atmosphere of your Spirit among us right now, would you bring a comfort that is beyond the natural realm? We pray for the interactive life of the Spirit in our spirit. May we know you, and may we know one another by the power and presence and person of the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, we'll be down here to pray with you.